Shalom, welcome to the Jewish Task Force, JTF. My name is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to a refuah shlema, complete recovery, for Ron Ben Margarita, Sharon Katz, Shifra Batsara, Shlomo Ben Sara, Dorit Batsara, and Ruth Batsara. And to Ilui Neshamot, Elevating of the Souls, for Malka Bat Meir, Daniel Nankin, Allegra Bat Shlomo, Lunita Adler, Helen Friedman, Harab Binyamin Kahana, Pesach Zeb Ben Chava, Harab Meir Kahana, Yosef Ben Meir, Bari Hoffman, Dennis Shor, Uven Hoffman, Robert Mitman, and Sipora Fegi Bat Liba. We're going to be discussing the one last chance for America to be saved, and that is if there is a right-wing backlash and an end to the left-wing political correctness. That's the one last chance for America to at least temporarily be saved from impending self-destruction. And the way that that can happen it would start with the recall election for governor of California next month. We're going to be discussing that. But first, I want to just give a brief update on what JTF has been doing with the Hilltop Youth in Judea and Samaria to prevent the creation of a so-called Palestinian state. There is no Palestine, there are no Palestinians. That's a historical lie and a myth and a fabrication. But the creation of a so-called independent Palestine state, an independent Arab terrorist state in Israel's biblical heartland, would be national suicide for Israel. And so we're supporting the heroic youth, Jewish youth in Israel, that are taking over hilltops, more than 20 hilltops, strategic hilltops in Judea and Samaria, to prevent that from happening. And this past week, for the seven times in one month, a hilltop was built, and the army came in, the Israeli police and the Israeli Israeli insecurity forces that support the enemies of Israel, they came in and destroyed this community for the seventh time in 1 month. But these Jewish youth are determined to keep going back and rebuilding. And they keep rebuilding it no matter how many times the army and the police come in and destroy. And so that happened for the seventh time in 1 month. But, this time it was publicized on at least five different right-wing news sites on the internet. So this time people are seeing it and hearing about it and knowing about it, including sites that the Israeli government is concerned about. They're concerned about what people read and see on those sites. Before JTF got involved, before JTF started financing the public relations campaign of the Hilltop Youth, they didn't have a chance. They weren't able to publicize because they were too busy being involved and just trying to get food on the table and feed their families, and they were working and trying to keep these hilltops going. And there are over 20 hilltops that are right now populated in Judea and Samaria. And so they had to concentrate on just survival, on just bare survival, because many of them live without running water, without electricity, and they have babies and they have children and families. Some of them have children and families. Some of them are just yeshiva students who are single, but some of them have children and families. So they couldn't do it. They didn't have the opportunity to do a public relations campaign every time this destruction took place. So the army and the police could come in and destroy and physically attack these heroic Jewish youth and do all types of atrocious things, and nobody even knew about it. Now, because of JTF, this time it was publicized on at least five different internet sites, including Arut Sheva, those of you who know about Arut Sheva, and Channel 20, which is a site that of Likud supporters, but it's sort of like a Fox News site of Likud supporters. It's publicized there, it's publicized on Arut Sheva. At least five different internet sites it was publicized on. So whenever they do this now, Israeli Jews, a certain percentage, a certain segment of the Israeli Jewish population now at least knows about it and this is being exposed. And that is important because they are sensitive to that. So, and the army and the police and the government are all sensitive to criticism and public opinion. Very concerned about public opinion and criticism because they're all a bunch of politicians. So, thank God, Baruch Hashem, thank God, finally because of JTF, because we're funding their public relations campaign and giving them an ability now to breathe. You know, we're sending them money so that they're able now, they have the time, they have the effort, the time to go and publicize when these terrible things happen. So at least this is being publicized and people are knowing about this. This is not being done in a way where nobody even finds out. So that's a big improvement. And that is thanks to you and JTF, those of you and you JTFers that are supporting us and helping us. Thanks to you. That's what's happening. And that happened again this week. We're now going to go and discuss the issue of California. Now, first of all, let me just start off by saying that even if California, even if there is a backlash and the United States is temporarily saved from self-destruction, Jews are obligated to live only in Eretz Yisrael, in the land of Israel. The mitzvah, the commandment of living in the land of Israel, is equal to all the other mitzvot of the Torah, to the whole Taryag HaMitzvot, Taryag HaMitzvot, of the 613 commandments in the Torah. And the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, of settling in the land of Israel, is equal to all the others. He who lives outside of Israel, it says in the Talmud, is as if he has no other, as if he has no God. And he who lives in Israel, as if he does have a God. So living inside the land of Israel, this mitzvah is a critical mitzvah, and Hashem, God, will not tolerate Jews living outside of Israel. It's a very, very serious sin. And the rabbis who live outside of Israel, and all the communities, and we have their shuls, we have yeshivas, we have all this stuff. They had that in Babel also, in Babylon, okay? And because they didn't want to go to the land of Israel when they had an opportunity, the Jews of Babel, we didn't get the final redemption, the Mashiach didn't come. We could have had the Mashiach thousands of years ago, but because they didn't go when they had an opportunity to go, the Mashiach didn't come. That's how serious it is when Jews don't want to live in the land of Israel. By the way, the Jews living in Israel now comprise probably about half of the world's Jewish population already. Almost half of the Jews in the world now live in Israel now. By far, the largest Jewish community in the world now is in the state of Israel, which is a huge change historically from what we had in the past. Now, having said that, the United States is on a rapid road to self-destruction. The United States is destroying itself. The white population of the United States is less than 60% now, over 40% non-white. When the non-whites, third world people, when they become a majority of the U.S. population, it's going to be a catastrophic day for America's future. And in general, just America is going downhill very fast. Very, very fast. And yet, in one place where the self-destructive behavior has been especially abhorrent, in one place, the largest state in the country, California, a backlash is building. A backlash is building that can possibly, temporarily at least, prevent America from self-destructing. And that would be in next month's recall election. In California, you have the ability to gather enough petitions. And if you gather enough petitions, I think it's 1.5 million petitions, something like 1.5 million signatures, something like that. You gather the petitions, you can recall the governor or any other state official. You can recall them and have them go before the voters in a special election. And that's what they did in California. They got so fed up with the horrific policies of the terrible governor of California, I mean, the lowest of the low, Gavin Newsom, the worst, I mean, just a horrible, nightmarish leader. They got so sick of his policies that the voters in California got together and started a recall. But then it was mainly Republicans and conservatives who were a minority, or a small minority of California voters now. But they decided to put this on the ballot and give the voters of California a chance to recall the governor. And now the polls show, in a surprise, that it is very close, that it looks like it's going to be very close, that the governor may be recalled. And let me explain to you what happens if the governor of California is recalled. People of California will face two questions, and the election, by the way, again, is next month on September 14th, right? This show is being done on August 5th, 2021. The recall election will be September 14th, 2021, next month. Here's what happens. There are going to be two questions. There are going to be two things the voters are going to vote on when they go to the polls on September 14th, or if they vote early. Whatever. If they vote in the election, two questions have to be decided. The first question is, should Governor Gavin Newsom, should he be recalled? In other words, should he be removed from office? And if the majority of voters in California vote yes, he's removed from office. That's it. He's out. If they vote no, then the second question becomes irrelevant because he remains in office. He remains the governor. And then, you know, the backlash and the hope, the one last hope for saving America through California vanishes. So the big question is, will a majority vote on question one? The first big question is, will a majority vote on question one to recall the governor, to throw him out of office? Again, if just 50% plus one vote in favor of throwing him out, he's out. He's out of office, and there'll be a new governor in California. And if it's less than a majority, in other words, if it's 50% plus one against a recall, he stays in office, and the hope that there'd be some hope for turning California around vanishes. So that's the first question has to be decided. Will Governor Gavin Newsom be recalled? Will he be removed from office? They have to vote yes or no. Yes or no. Second question for the voters of California. They then have to decide if he is recalled, if the governor is recalled, the second question they have to decide is who will replace him? Who will replace him? And that's the second question that they will decide in that same election next month. There are dozens of candidates that are running. But there, according to the polls, there are Republicans running that have a chance of winning. Because there are dozens of candidates and it's scattered all over the place, you can have a candidate win with only 20% of the vote because there are dozens of candidates there. So a candidate could theoretically get elected governor of California with just 20% of the vote, maybe even less, theoretically. So it's possible that next month, according to the polls, Gavin Newsom will be voted out of office. It's very close right now. The latest polls show that it's neck and neck, 48% against recalling him, 46% in favor, according to one poll. Similar results in another poll that came out recently. Very, very close election. It is possible, though, that he will be thrown out of office next month. And we're going to tell you in a moment how amazing that would be in extreme left-wing California. Really amazing. But it's possible he'll be thrown out of office, number one. And number two, it's possible that his replacement will be a Republican. Will be a Republican governor who wants to change the way things are done in socialist California. And wants to bring back the days of what you had under Ronald Reagan. The type of leadership you had when Ronald Reagan was governor of California. So that is a possibility. That could happen next month on September 14th. It is very possible. Now, let me explain to you why that would be amazing. That would be amazing because California was considered to be a lost cause, a hopeless situation. Over 60% of California's population is non-white. And the non-white minorities in California overwhelmingly have voted Democrat. Over 60% non-white. The whites, less than, I think, 37, 36% of the population now. Really a shrinking minority, just a little bit over a third, 36, 37% of the population. Now, in the 1960s, let me explain to you the change that took place over California so that you'll understand why this is so important for the future of the whole country, because California, what happens in California influences the whole country. Because, first of all, California is the biggest state in the country, and people always used to say, when you see something in California developing politically or culturally, you know that that's going to lead to the rest of the country. It's going to happen in the rest of the country. That California is the one that sets the trends. That was always what was said for decades. In the 1960s, the 1970s, the 1980s, California was a conservative Republican, voted conservative Republican. You had a lot of Democrats, but a lot of Democrats were conservatives. A lot of what you call Reagan Democrats. And so the state voted conservative Republican in the 60s. For instance, in 1966, Ronald Reagan was elected overwhelmingly as governor of California. I think he won with 56%, 57% of the vote. I don't remember the exact percentage, but a big victory against an incumbent governor Jerry Brown's father, Pat Brown, was running for another term, and Ronald Reagan defeated him, and defeated him very decisively with 56-57% of the vote. That was in 1966. And in 1970, Ronald Reagan was re-elected to a second term with a big margin. And you saw a continuation of that in the 70s and in the 80s. For instance, in 1984, in the presidential election 1984, when President Reagan ran for re-election for a second term, President Reagan carried the state of California, and this percentage I do remember, President Reagan carried the state of California with 58% of the vote. He got 58% in California in 1984. So 58% voted for someone whom they considered to be a conservative Republican against the Democrats and the liberals and the other people on the left. The state was still solidly majority conservative. Whether or not Reagan was a real conservative, or I don't want to get into that. For me, it's very hard for me to consider someone to be a real conservative. You know, when if they support illegal immigration and other things, and so I'm not going to get into that now. But Reagan was certainly considered by everyone at that time, by most of the voters, to be a conservative, and people who voted for him because they considered him to be a conservative. So they were people who were right-wing voters. Conservative voters, and that was the majority of the population. That continued in the 80s. Then, because of the demographic changes, because of the invasion of California by third world people, and because the majority of the population flipped and turned non-white, and eventually became over 60%, by 1998 already, you had an overwhelming majority voting for left-wing Democrats all across the board for all the statewide offices. And Republicans lost overwhelmingly. And that continued afterwards. And now every presidential election, Republicans win by more than, I mean, Democrats win in California by more than 2-1 in every presidential election. Democrats win the races for governor in every statewide office. No Republican has won the governor's office there since 2006, and the Republican who won in 2006 wasn't even a real Republican, Arnold Schwarzenegger. He wasn't a real Republican, he was a leftist. But since 2006, no one has even voted even for a phony Republican. And for many, many years now, every statewide office, every controller, every U.S., the two U.S. senators, the governor, the lieutenant governor, every attorney general, every statewide office in California is held by Democrats, and they win by overwhelming margins. Every election. So California is pretty much, you would say, a lost cause, right? Overwhelmingly vote Democrat, every statewide office controlled by Democrats. The state legislature, there are two houses of the state legislature in California. Both houses of the state legislature in California, in Sacramento, the capital, both houses of the state legislature in California have more than two-thirds Democrat majorities. In other words, the Democrats outnumber Republicans in the state legislatures, in the two state legislative houses, by more than 2-1. So how do you win in a state like that with more than 2-1 a voting Democrat? How can you win? And we're over 60% of the population is non-white, and they're hostile to the Republican platform. How do you win in a state like that? Democrats, by the way, registered Democrats outnumber registered Republicans in California by more than 2-1. How do you win? And by the way, the conservative Democrats, the Reagan Democrats that you had that were voting for Reagan in the 60s and in the 70s and 80s, they don't exist anymore. Okay, the Democrats are no longer. You don't have those people anymore. The Reagan Democrats, the conservative Democrats, it doesn't exist. The Democrat Party now is almost solidly left wing. So what do you do? So California looked like a hopeless situation, completely hopeless. Let me just shed some light on what the effect has been, and one of the issues that has caused problems for the Democrats. Now there's a backlash developing. Even Latino voters in California, by the way, Latino voters outnumber white voters in California. Just Latinos alone outnumber white voters, and of course if you put on top of that black voters and other non-white voters, you have an overwhelming majority that's non-white. But just Latino voters alone, they outnumber white. No, Latino residents alone outnumber whites. They don't outnumber them in actual votes because some of them are not citizens. But anyway, I don't want to get into that. It's too complicated, but in population, in terms of share population, Latinos already outnumber whites. Just one minority ethnic group already outnumbers the whites. So, but there's a backlash building now. And Republicans have a chance to win the election next month. And one of the issues that has caused the backlash is the homeless problem in California. The crime problem, the homeless problem. Just the whole state has become a nightmare. California was such a beautiful state. It was such a gorgeous state with beautiful beaches and beautiful, beautiful scenery and great weather. Never rains in Southern California. You know, the beautiful, beautiful weather and beautiful and just nice and the mild winters and just nice dry weather. And now California has become a nightmare. A nightmare. And here's an example. The state has to spend billions of dollars just on one issue, just on the issue of the homeless, billions of dollars. Just on that one issue, they're spending billions of dollars to put homeless people, to take homeless people off the street and put them in hotels and pay for them in for free. They put them in nice, fancy hotels. They put them in furnished apartments. They build new furnished, build brand new buildings and furnish the apartments and build, give them furniture, give them everything. Everything all for free, and just hand it to them with taxpayer money. Billions of dollars are being spent just to give the homeless furnished apartments and hotel rooms. There are at least over 160,000 homeless in California, at least. And that's probably an underestimate, but the minimum estimate is that there are over 160,000 homeless people wandering around in California. And California has one-fifth of the entire nation's homeless. Of all the homeless in the 50 states, one out of every five, one-fifth, 20%, live in the state of California. That's how bad it is. I mean, everywhere you go, you have homeless people all over the place, on the streets, smelling up the streets, defecating on the streets, building tents on sidewalks. It's a horror. And people can't stand it anymore. The begging, the crime, the prostitution, the drug abuse, the alcoholism, the dirt on the streets and the filthy streets. It's unbearable. It's become what was an unbelievably clean, beautiful, magnificent state with such breathtaking views and such great weather and just everything so nice and so now. And it was the American dream, and now it's become the American nightmare. And so there's a backlash now. People want Gavin Newsom out, including many Latino voters are voting against him now. So they were banking on the fact that, hey, we're getting demographically, we're taking over. Look, the whites are going to be a minority, and we're going to take over. This country, the United States, will become another Brazil. In Brazil, the whites are a minority, a small minority of the population. And so you have a country which is run by third world people, and you see what Brazil is like. I don't know if you know what Brazil is like, but I don't think you'd want to live there. So that looked like the future, and it was becoming the future in California. But now the homeless situation and the crime situation have gotten so out of hand and so out of control that polls show that for the first time, about half of the voters are saying they're willing to throw Gavin Newsom out of office. And if that happens, and if a Republican, and polls also show that Republicans are leading in the race to succeed Gavin Newsom, because then, in other words, if he's voted out of office, the second question of California that Californians have to vote on in the same election is who replaces him, and the polls show that the Republicans are leading in the race to replace Gavin Newsom. So that would be an astonishing turnaround, an astonishing example of a backlash and a turnaround. Just incredible. It would be probably somewhat similar to what happened with Rudy Giuliani becoming mayor of New York after David Dinkins. New York seemed finished. It seemed hopeless. It seemed like a lost cause. And Rudy Giuliani came in and rescued the city temporarily. He brought the crime rate down drastically. Like in the first couple of years of his administration, he brought the crime rate down more than 60%. And eventually, the murder rate, which had been 2,500 murders every year, went down to 500 or 600 murders every year. I mean, that's the type of improvement that Giuliani created in New York City, it was safe in the city. You could walk the streets of the city again. It was safe to go out. It was safe to go shopping. It was safe to go out. It was safe to go to Times Square. He cleaned up Times Square. He made it family friendly. Times Square was a place where you could bring your kids and your whole family. And you didn't have bums and drug addicts and prostitutes and black hookers and just the lowest of the low coming up to you every three steps. I mean, I remember, you know, working in Manhattan and going to Manhattan and also many parts of Queens as well. And you'd go and every two steps it was someone else offering you to sell you drugs. You know, want to get high? And then the black, ugly prostitutes coming up to you saying, going out, honey, going out. Every two steps you were accosted by black prostitutes, by drug dealers, by crack addicts, by alcoholics asking you for money. Spare a dollar. You know, it was unbearable. Giuliani came in, he cleaned the whole thing up. And if you get a Republican governor coming in there, if Gavin Newsom is voted out, and a Republican governor comes in and cleans this whole thing up, there's no telling what that could lead to nationally. That could really lead to a whole revolution nationally. Now, Donald Trump did not do that as president. I know that there are those of you who worship Donald Trump. He didn't do that as president. Ted Cruz would have done that. He would have been that type of transformational president. He was that type of tough, focused leader. Donald Trump couldn't even build the one thing that he promised over and over again, build the wall, he didn't do. Okay, he maybe built 5% of the wall that he was supposed to build. He didn't even start to build the wall for the first 2 years of administration, didn't even start to build the wall. He completely ignored the issue. It's this type of failed leadership that will sink America. When you have a Republican that fails like this, and then all the Republicans, look how stupid people are. They're all so enthusiastic, they worship Donald Trump. All he did was talk. It was all bluff. Build that wall. And he never built the wall. Even the one thing that he swore he was going to do, he didn't do. I remember people saying to us on our forum, and I predicted that he wasn't going to build a wall. And people said, that's the one thing that of course he's going to do that. Come on, Chaim, you're ridiculous. Of course, and he didn't build it. He didn't build the wall. Hundreds of thousands are still coming across the border. He never solved the problem. He never built the wall. But what if you get a Republican governor? What if Gavin Newsom is voted out of office? And a Republican wins and is elected governor of California and becomes not like Donald Trump, who was ineffective and a joke, but someone like Rudy Giuliani, who when he was mayor of New York City was effective and did turn the situation around. If you get that in California and the people of the nation see that, they see the homeless problem cleaned up, they see crime going down, they see the budget under control, they see California once again becoming a prosperous, wealthy state that can attract people. Right now, California is losing the population they want to keep, middle class people, businesses, white people, they're all fleeing the state. They're all running everywhere to get out. They can't wait to get out of California. And it's attracting the population that you don't want. All the third world illegal aliens and other people that come into the state, that's the people you don't want to attract in the state. So California's population is growing in the wrong places and shrinking in the wrong places. In other words, shrinking everywhere where you don't want it to shrink. So everything's going wrong right now. And if that's turned around, and if California again becomes a beacon of light for the country, you never know what that can lead to. So it's an election where you see, because you see patterns in history where things get so bad that there's a backlash sometimes. For instance, people were so upset about Trump not getting reelected, and you wanted him to be reelected so badly, as if he was doing such a great job. I mean, was he really solving the problems in his first term? He wasn't solving anything. Nothing was really getting done that was really fundamentally different. But now that he was defeated, and that Biden, people see that Biden is so ineffective, and that Kamala Harris is such a joke, She can't even run her staff. She's a complete joke. She's a complete incompetent. And Biden is a senile, Alzheimer disease fuddy-duddy that doesn't even know. He doesn't even remember his own name. He doesn't even remember who he was served under as president, whether he was a senator or a president. He doesn't know whether he's a senator. He doesn't know what state he's from. He doesn't know where he is or what he is. I mean, he's completely out of it. And people are seeing this. And so there's a potential here for a big backlash. And that big backlash can usher in an effective leader that can turn things around, at least temporarily, for the future of the United States. So we'll see what happens on September 14th. But in any event, no matter what happens, Jews, I'm speaking to Jews now, you are not allowed to live in the United States or anywhere outside of Israel. You must live in the land of Israel. You should be learning Hebrew first. The number one obstacle to successful aliyah, to living in Israel successfully, is to learn Hebrew. You should be learning Hebrew. That's the most important thing you can do. Learn to speak Hebrew and prepare yourself for aliyah, for going to Israel. That's what you should be doing. That's what Jews are supposed to do. And there are many Jews in California, hundreds of thousands of Jews live in California, second biggest Jewish community outside of New York, in the United States. And if there are Israelis, there are a lot of Israelis among those Jews there that left Israel, that abandoned Israel and decided to move to California. If those Jews go back to Israel, that's very good for the Jewish people if Jews live in Israel. So again, even if there is a temporary resurgence or a temporary comeback for California, a temporary rebirth of California and of America as a whole, this is still not the country for the Jewish people. There's no Jewish future here. The Jewish future is only in the land of Israel. And JTF, of course, is fighting the most essential battle in the land of Israel to prevent the creation of a so-called Palestine state that would be national suicide for Israel, the premier battle. And we're right on the front lines of that battle, supporting the people who are offering the hope for preventing the Arabs from taking over on the ground. Because otherwise, if they weren't there on those hilltops, the Arabs would take over on the ground. God forbid, it would be a disaster. JTF is the only organization funding them. The only organization funding them on a consistent monthly basis. We send them money on a regular basis, and no other organization is doing that. So, you know, that's what you're supporting when you're supporting JTF. You're supporting preventing Israel from committing national suicide. The stronger JTF is, and the stronger the Hilltop Youth are, the stronger Israel is, and the better chance we have of saving Israel from the lunacy and the self-destructive behavior and the self-hating behavior of Jewish leaders in Israel. The stronger we are, the better hope we have of saving Israel from disaster, God forbid, and of waking the people of Israel up. So that's where we stand right now, and we'll see what happens next month in the California recall election. But you heard it here first. That election could turn things around, at least temporarily, for the entire United States, if it goes in the right direction. If it doesn't go in the right direction, then that's another lost opportunity, and America will just go downhill even faster. If we work together and fight for what's right, for justice and truth and righteousness, we can make this a better world. For JTF, until next week, this is Chaim Ben Pesach. Shalom.